somebody here in Newcastle today, like a copy of God's word, God's written word, that is an extract from the Bible, offered to you quite freely, yours simply and only for the taking. It's one of the Gospels, Luke's Gospel, and of course impart to you the knowledge, of course, necessary, needful in order for a person to come to know, to trust, and to love the Savior, to know that you have eternal life in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you'd like to have a copy of God's Word, it's offered to you, as I say, quite freely. You're simply for the taking. It's freely offered, freely received. Gospel, of course, good news, glad tidings. God sending His Son into the world that through Him, that men and women might be saved, come to a knowledge of God and His Son whom He sent into the world. This, Jesus tells us, is eternal life. And that eternal life is to be found in Him and Him alone. My sheep hear My voice, they follow Me, and I give unto them eternal life, He says, and they shall never perish. And of course, here in God's Word, well, you can read, if you will, the words of Jesus Himself, the instruction that He gives to us, warnings, threats, encouragements, and of course, admonitions to, turn from our sin and to put our trust in Him, that through Him the only mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus Himself, that you might be reconciled to God. Because, well, the great need is, of course, our need of reconciling to God. Because, as the Bible tells us quite clearly, naturally speaking, we're at enmity against God in our minds, hostile to God, that is, at war with God, at odds with God. God has controversy with us, that of our sin, in which, of course, we are born into the world with sinful natures and live, of course, and die in that sin. But, of course, for the grace of God that, that's imparted to men and women through His Son, Jesus Christ, by the preaching of the gospel, that which I'm doing today, men and women hearing, believing, and of course, believing, well, sincerely, truly, that is, with a living and a true faith. So, the Word of God, as I say, it's offered to you, you're simply for the taking. One point here, Matthew, want to check it out, Matthew chapter 7 and verse 15, Jesus bids us to beware because, because there's danger, and of course, well, where there's love, there's warning concerning danger. Love warns, you know, it's not unloving, it's not unkind to warn somebody of impending danger. And of course, well, He warns us of the impending judgment of God that's coming upon the world. And the danger, of course, is that you come to that, you're faced with that unprepared. So beware, He says, in tones of love, if you like, just as you would warn your children and your grandchildren if they were faced with danger to too near the water, perhaps, or the fire, you would warn them, and perhaps maybe you would have to raise your voice. Maybe perhaps you would have to shout and scream because, well, you know, just like you, you know, not want to listen to the warnings that God gives us, so to your children, just like you, you know, they don't take heed to the warnings you give them either. So sometimes the voice has to be raised. And of course, well, sometimes they don't take any heed to the warnings. And of course, well, then they're faced with the danger. Then if you don't take heed to the warnings that the Lord Jesus Christ brings to you, well, you're faced with the same catastrophic disaster, my friends. Not just physical fire, but the flames that are never quenched. That is the fires of hell. So beware, he says here, Jesus, the loving Savior, beware, he says, of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Tells us, of course, previous to that, you know, that in order to get into the kingdom of God, in order to get right with God, that is, you know, you've got to swim against the tide, as it were. Enter, he says, ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. The popular route, the one that the multitude take, that, he says, that's the pathway to eternal destruction. So in order, you see, to get right with God, in order to be a member of God's kingdom, brought to that place of eternal security, well, you've got to swim against the tide. You've got to go against that which is popular. And sure that you realize, if you've been around for more than 5 minutes, you'll have come to the realization it's not always the multitude, it's not always the majority that's right. In fact, more often than not, it's the minority. But that would be the case here concerning God's kingdom. In order to enter God's kingdom, you've got to enter through the straight gate, the narrow gate, and travel the narrow pathway. And that means, of course, well, some things have to be discarded, you know, in order to get through that straight gate. You know, like your sin, you know, like the world, the flesh, and everything, of course, that goes with it. You know, all your darling lusts, and of course, your love of the world. All of these things, you see, all that baggage that you're carrying, the baggage of sin, well, you have to discard it in order to get into that straight gate. And of course, if you've not entered into the straight gate, by Jesus, that is, well, you're not even on the pathway. But both pathways, the narrow one and the broad one, they both end up, Jesus tells us, they end up in the same place, God's courtroom, the place of judgment, where you give account, says Jesus, for even for every idle word that you've ever spoken. But of course, that's not all. There's your sinful nature that you got from your parents. You see, that's why you're a sinner, and that's why you sin. Maybe, perhaps, you know, there have been occasions, you know, quiet, contemplative moment, you know, you wonder to yourself, you know, why? Why do I do the things that I do? I know they're wrong. I know them to be wrong. I know them to be harmful. They hurt me and they're hurting other people. But I still do it. I keep doing it. Why do I keep doing it? Well, you know, it's like when you were a kid, you know. Your parents used to tell you, didn't they, to do right, you know. And of course you promised them that you would, but you didn't. And the harder, the more you tried, the worse it got. Because you see, here's the problem. God answers that problem for you. You are conceived in sin in your mother's womb. You come into the world 9 months later, shapen in iniquity and lawlessness with a sinful nature, out of which comes nothing but sin. So you see, every day of your life, all the days, in thought, in word, in deed, that comes out of you, out of your heart, out of your mind, out of that sinful nature, nothing but sin. You can't help yourself. It's too powerful for you. That's why you need saving, you see. That's why you need delivering. That's why Jesus tells you to beware. Because the end of that sin and that sinful nature, you give account, you see, in God's courtroom. You stand before the judge in the end. So the thing to do, you see, is not to think about the moment and the pleasure that your sin will bring to you, give to you, but think of the consequences. Think, my friend, of the end game, if you like, of that moment when you stand before the judge and give account for that sin nature that you got from your parents. Each one, you see, all the way back to the first man, the head of the human race, Adam his name was. He brought sin into the world and upon his entire posterity, so that through natural generation, you see, one generation after another, sinners are born, and out of them comes nothing but sin. And that's why you live in a world that's wrecked. That's why you live in a world that's in meltdown. That's why you have wars, famines, earthquakes, disease. That's why you have all the bad stuff that you're always complaining about. So you see, there's your sinful nature, and then everything, of course, well, that comes from it. All accountable. So, as Jesus says, in order to get out, you've got to swim against the tide, you see. You've got to get in through that straight gate, walk down that narrow pathway. That is, of course, well, to put it in simple terms for you, you have to repent of your sin. You have to leave it behind. You have to leave it at the foot of the cross where Jesus, the Son of God, died in order to take away the sin. That's why he's called the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Take yours away today, perhaps, should you but trust in him. Huh? You know, you're an old man, sir. You're an old man, you're not fit for this world. You've got grey, white hair like me. Soon you're going to breathe your last and you'll be before the judge. Take heed to what I say, or rather, to what Jesus says to you. Beware, he says. Beware of false prophets. You got to swim against the tide in order to get into the kingdom of God. But of course, the question is, what road are you on? Is it the narrow one or the broad one? The one that the multitudes go down? The one that's pleasing? You bring your sins with you. You don't leave them behind. You carry your burden with you. Or is it the narrow one? Tremble at it, my friends. Tremble. There's a man coming round and he's taking names. And he decides who's who to bless and who to blame. His name is Jesus. He's the judge and the one who will one day bring you to judgment. So, my friends, the question is it heaven with the few or hell with the multitude? Which will it be for you? Many, of course, in these days in which you find yourself, many people believe, well, say that they believe at least anyway, lip service, I guess, you know. Many, you know, believe anything with regards to religion, some people will tell you, well, it doesn't really matter which one, the religion of evolution or Islam or Rome's variety. You know, it doesn't matter which you believe. They all lead to the one God anyhow. Religious confusion abounds in your world today, my friends. But the way back to God from sin's dark path is not through a confusion, a mess of religion, human religion, but a person, God's Son, Jesus Christ, sent into the world with the purpose, appointed, anointed of God, and sent to die on that cross that you might be forgiven and that you might have access to heaven. So the test, you see, when it comes to anything, religious or otherwise, even philosophical, I would say, the test is, well, the fruit, you know, what fruit comes from it? Jesus says, you shall know them by their fruits. You know, what fruit does it bear? You know, the teaching, the preaching, what the man's saying to you, what the religion offers or presents to you. What is the fruit that it bears? That, of course, well, that's the ultimate test. And then, of course, well, he goes on to tell us, because beware, he says, of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly, in their hearts, they're ravening wolves, pseudo sham peddlers of religion. Oh, which, of course, you get many today. I mean, you've got Rome's variety. You've got Mecca's variety. You've got Muhammad, the imposter and the inventor of a false religion with his sacrilegious Quran, which is a heap of idle fantasy. No, my friends. And then, of course, within the pale of Christendom, you've got the health, wealth, and prosperity, you know, merchants who tell you, you know, you believe in Jesus and he'll make you wealthy, he'll make you healthy, he'll heal all your diseases, and he'll make you very prosperous. Oh, Jesus, he has something to say to such as those as well. Woe unto you, he says, ye hypocrites, sham religion. Yeah, it abounds in your world today, my friend. That's why, you see, you need discernment. Beware of these false prophets, says Jesus. Well, how would you beware? Well, the only way, my friends, is to bring it to the touchstone of the truth of God's word. God has given us his word, you see, and caused it to be written down for us, so that is that we don't forget it. And if you do happen to forget it, if you're a forgetful creature, well, you can always go back, you see, again and again to the Bible, and you can be informed again and again just as to what God says. And he does not promise you health, wealth, and prosperity. And neither would he have you to believe in false, damnable, and godless religion, such as Rome of Mecca's variety. Of course, put it to the test. See the fruit that comes from their religion. I mean, you've got the religion of evolutionism. You know, that's hypocrisy as well. You say you believe in the religion of evolutionism. You say that you believe in the survival of the fittest. Well, all the killing, all the lawlessness, that's just a culling of the herds to you. You say that you believe in evolution, but you cling to some standard of morality, some standard of right and wrong. Well, my friends, that's nothing but hypocrisy. Because if you believe that there was no God, if you truly believe that in your heart, you would not cling to your morality. you would be lawless to the uttermost, even worse than it is now. So it's hypocrisy. You see, you don't really believe what you say that you believe. Then you look at the fruit that's come out of your evolutionism, all the murder, abortion, you know, euthanasia, and everything else in between. The fruit of evolutionism, nothing but death. It's a doctrine of death. By their fruits you shall know them. So the Darwins and the Dawkins, these clever intellectual fools, you swallowed them hook, line and sinker. And look at the state of your nation, look at the state of the world as a result today. That's your religion of evolutionism. Well then, of course, you could turn to the Pope's variety. They've been killing us, you know, my fathers, you know, they've been killing us for generations. They used to burn us at the stake, you know, but they can't do that anymore. It's against the law. But of course, if they could, they still would do exactly the same. Then you got the religion of Islam. Well, you know, you shouldn't need me to tell you about that. You know, they say it's a religion of peace. Well, pick up your daily newspaper and see what's happening in Islam in the name of their religion of peace. Huh? In the name of their God, slaughtering and killing people. Day by day, my friends, that's false religion. These are the false prophets. These are the scribes and Pharisees. These are the ones that Jesus pronounced the woes against. Woe unto you, ye hypocrites. Cursing them, my friends, already cursed. They would not, they do not, they will not enter into God's kingdom through the straight gate. That is, they will not repent of their sin, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that they might enter God's kingdom. They won't do that themselves, but they hinder other people from doing the same. That's why Jesus tells you to beware of them. It's not just what they do themselves. If they want to damn themselves, well, I guess maybe you could say that's their own business. But you see, when they poison the minds of other people, well then, it becomes a little bit more serious. So Jesus warns people, because that's the loving thing to do. When people are peddling damnable, false, sham religion, well, we do well to warn people. Warn them of the danger. Get out from amongst the Islamists. Get out from amongst the Romanists. Get out from amongst the evolutionists. Whatever their false religion be, get out from amongst them. And be ye separate, says the Lord. And enter through that straight gate and walk that narrow pathway. The one that leads to glory and leads to God and leads to heaven. So you see, my friends, you can tell, not sent by God. Because if they were sent by God, well, they would be declaring God's message. And God has given us his message, eternal life, he says, through his Son, Jesus Christ. Right from the very beginning, my friends, of the Bible, to the end of it. Search the scriptures, the Bible, says Jesus, for they testify of me. All over the Bible, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, mighty to save, he is the subject of the Bible. And the one that God would have you to believe in order to receive eternal life. Not false religion and not false prophets. If these people were sent by God, they would be declaring God's message. And they would be declaring God's Son, Jesus Christ, as to who he is. But of course, well, you could go to those world religions and they would tell you, yes, they believe in Jesus, for that. The Jesus of the Bible, Islam, the Watchtower Society, they deny that Jesus is God, you see. God revealed, God manifested in the flesh. He came, you see, all the way from heaven's glory. I only came 10 minutes down the road to you to bring the gospel. But Jesus came all the way from glory. He became a man. He became one of us. The weakness of sinful nature, but yet without sin. And came, my friends, to die on that cross and rise again from the dead in order that you might have life in his name. So if these people, you see, if they were truly sent by God, they would be declaring God's message clearly, honestly, and sincerely, but they're peddlers of sham religion. Beware of them, says Jesus. And of course, what are they like inwardly? Ah, they come to you with their false religion, with their dog collars on. What on earth anyone would want to wear that for, I don't know. But they come to you with their dog collars on. You know, and their long frocks that they wear, peddling their religion to you. But what are they like on the inside? You see, God doesn't look on the outward appearance. God does not care what kind of clothes a man wears. The outward appearance means nothing. You can look a fine dandy. You can look the smartest dude in the world. Armani, Gucci, everything, you know. But inside, what's inside? What's in the heart? That's what God looks for and sees. And inwardly, these false prophets, says Jesus, inwardly, they're like ravening wolves. They kill people. They're full of lusts. They're full, my friends, of filthy lusts that damn their souls. Their hearts have never been washed, never been cleansed in the blood of the Lamb, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, my friends, all the religion in the world, I tell you, won't make your heart clean. Go where you will, any store you like, choose one. Anyone at all, my friends. Go and ask them for something, some commodity that will, some kind of detergent. Tell them that you've got a heart full of filthy lust and you want it gone. You want your heart washed and clean. Give me something to wash my heart, and they'll laugh you out of the place. They'll tell you that there's no such a product. But there is, my friends. The blood of God's Son, Jesus Christ, shed on the cross in order that you might be washed and made clean. But you see, these peddlers of religion, they come to you, these false prophets. They come to you in their long robes. They come to you looking oh so very holy with their dog collars on and like, you know. But inwardly, what are they like? Well, Rome have been exposed, have they not, to the many pedophile priests, filthy lusts, you see. Then, of course, well, up in the northern regions, they tell me, up in Yorkshire, our young girls, teenage girls, have been raped by Muslims in their hundreds. See what I mean? Religious, God's name, false prophets. Beware, says Jesus, religious, but inwardly, like ravening wolves, filthy, lustful, unclean. All the religion in the world won't take the lust out of your heart. Only Jesus can do that. Only the Son of God. That's why he says you must be born again. The nature must be changed. The sinful nature is depraved. Utterly depraved to the uttermost. And there's not a person under the sound of my voice here today, including myself. There's none of us It's not beyond any one of us to commit the most horrendous, horrendous crime that you could think of. Because we've got sinful natures, and those natures need to be changed. Not enough just simply to be forgiven. God does that. But my friends, you must be born again. God must come, you see, raise you from the dead. It's not religion, it's resurrection that you need, regeneration. You need raising from the dead. The Bible says you're dead in your trespasses and sin. You need raising from the dead first. God coming and putting his life into your soul and his love into your heart so that you no longer hate God and hate your neighbor, but love God and love your neighbor. The very thing that God's law demands of you, that you should love God and love your neighbor as yourself. So beware, my friends, beware. Never mind the garments. Never mind what they're wearing. You know, bandages round their heads, long frocks, dog collars. It doesn't matter. What's in here? What's in their hearts? Have they been washed? Have they been made clean in the blood of God's Lamb? Rapacious wolves, says the Lord Jesus Christ. Then, of course, well, you need to ask them, from what source do they speak? From whence do they get their religion? Well, I mean, the Quran, you know, fables, fanciful tales, my friends, you know, incoherent, inconsistent, babble, utter nonsense. Read it for yourself. No, perhaps the best not. But then, of course, you know, the disciples of the Pope, it doesn't matter. From what authority? What's the authority for their religion if it's not according to God's word? If they speak not according to God's word, God says they have no light in them. No light in them. To the law and to the testimony, if it disagrees with God's law, if it disagrees with God's testimony, that, says God, means there is no light in them, nothing but darkness. Beware of the false prophet, says Jesus. Go compare, the man says. Go compare. Compare with what? Compare with the Bible, what God's word says. That's the truth. And there's no truth apart from God's word given to us, that we might know the truth, that we might know the truth about ourselves and the truth about God and what it is that he requires of us. That's what the Bible is, you see. It's a revelation. And it comes as a bit of shock to many people, you know. It reveals to us, you know, what God is like. You know, that he's our creator. He's the one who, you know, who brought the universe, the world into being. Not by evolution, but by speaking his powerful words. He spoke the universe, the world, and mankind into being. And he's the one who sustains the world, keeps it on its axis. All the planets, the sun, the moon, all kept on course, not magically, but kept sustained by God. He's your provider. He's the one who provides you with air to breathe, food and water. He's God. He's your creator. But of course, the Bible tells us he's also our judge, the one before whom, you see, God made everything, and he made you for his glory. And you don't glorify God in your life, in all of your being, well, you don't attain, my friends, the highest purpose for which you were made, and that is for the glory of God. And if you don't reach that height, if you don't attain that that divine purpose of glorifying God, well, you stand before Him in judgment. And then, of course, well, God will get glory from you anyway, one way or the other. He'll either be glorified in your salvation or glorified in your damnation. But one of the two, God will get glory from you. So you see, my friends, the Bible's a revelation of who God is, what He is. But His love, in the immensity of His love, He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, into the world that men and women might indeed glorify Him, glorify His salvation, that men and women might be brought to know Him, not just about Him, not just reading about Him, but actually coming to a knowledge of Him, intimate friendship, a covenant of friendship with God, with your Maker. To glorify and to enjoy God, that's your purpose. The purpose for which God made you. The purpose for which you are here today, now. You live and move and you have your being in God. He withdraws your next breath from you. You're gone away before the judgment throne. Everlasting. Burning damnation of hell, unless that is you glorify God, unless that is you trust in His Son Jesus Christ. God sent His Son into the world that you might not face such an end, but that you might be saved in the way of repentance and faith, believing the truth that God has revealed. But then, of course, the Bible's also a revelation of yourself. I mean, here you are, like the majority, I guess, in Newcastle today, thinking yourself to be, you know, an item. You know, okay, you say, I'm okay. You know, I don't need God. I don't need the gospel. I don't need His Son, Jesus Christ. I'm a good person. No, says God. No, you're not. He says there's none good. And He says there's none that doeth good. He says there's none righteous. No, not one, He says. So not good at all, you see. That's why I say it comes as a shock to many people. When they read the Bible, when they hear the truth that God has revealed to us concerning ourselves, and then of course what He requires of us. And that is that we should repent of our sin. That we should turn from our sin. That you should forsake it and turn to Him through His Son, Jesus Christ. That's His instruction from His instruction manual. That's the truth according to God's Word. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, He says. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all the rest shall be added unto you. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, for He will show mercy, abundantly pardon. Come now, saith the Lord. Let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Revelation given to us, to the law, to the testimony, God's Word, the Holy Scriptures. If they speak not according to this God's testimony, it is because there is no light in them. So beware of the false prophets. How would you recognize them? Well, by their work. By what they do, by what they're like inwardly, and what comes out of them. You see, what comes out of a person, out of the heart proceedeth evil thoughts, says Jesus. Murder, fornication, all kinds of immorality, blasphemy, theft. All these things come out of the hearts of men and women. So the peddlers of religion who come to you with their doctrines, with their religion, wanting to convert you, wanting you to subscribe to their religion. Well, see, look, recognize what comes out of them. Huh? So what comes out? What comes out of the religion of peace? What comes out of Islam? Well, look at Afghanistan. That's what comes out of their hearts. Huh? That's their works. That's their fruits. So anybody in their right mind, anyone with a grain, a mustard seed of intelligence, could see with just a smattering of knowledge of what God says in His Word, would see that that's not of God. By their fruits you shall know them. That's how you examine them. So what comes out of evolution? Nothing but death. It's a doctrine of death, that's all it is. And all your world religions put together, there's not a hapworth. Not a hapworth of life in any one of them. There's no salvation. There's no life. There's no forgiveness. There's no reconciliation. There's no heaven in any one of your world religions, including the religion of evolution. Not a hapworth. Outside of Jesus Christ, there is not one ounce of salvation. Only in Jesus Christ. In no other God is salvation to be found but in Him. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me, only through Jesus Christ. So when you examine their works, you look at the fruit, what comes out of them. Is it good fruit? If it's not, well, then their hearts are bad. You listen to their teaching, what they say is in accordance with God's word. If the answer is no, then you discard it. Beware of the false prophet, says Jesus. Just because a person does good, just because a person shows you kindness, that's not the measure of their religion. No, no, my friend. What do they say? What do they teach? Is it in accordance with God's word? A person can show you kindness, but what they're teaching you, what they're laying before you, could well be damnable doctrine. Is it in accordance with God's word, my friend? So you see, my friends, both are necessary. You have to examine the fruit of their lives, I mean. And you have to examine what they're saying. And you have to bring it all to the touchstone of God's word, what God says. And of course, well, you need to beware, especially so, of the rejecters of God's word. Those who reject God's word. I mean, could a person possibly be right with God, fit for God, fit for life, fit for purpose, fit for heaven, and be a rejecter of God's work? No, my friends. Beware of the false prophets. Those who reject the testimony of God, His Word, the Holy Bible. Nowhere else that you find God's Word. Infallible record. God's record. You reject it, you say it's not true, then you reject God and you reject His word. You call God a liar. That's not good. That's not a good thing to do, my friend. No, you ought to embrace the word of God. The word of God is the engrafted word that is able to save your soul. But if you reject it, you cannot be saved. It's only in embracing it. It's only in believing it. Because it's by faith, you see, not by religion. False or otherwise. It's by believing that a person is saved. By the works of the law. By the works of religion. By supposed good works. No flesh says God shall ever be justified right, that is, in my sight. Only by faith, you see. Not by doing, not your doing. Somebody else has done the doing. Jesus. He's done everything necessary. His life is dying. His rising again from the dead. He's done everything necessary. You, for your part, you have to believe. Simply believing, my friend, not doing. All the works in the world, you have no good works. You have nothing to commend you to God. All you are is just a lump of walking, breathing, talking sin. That's all you are. Any one of us. Nothing to offer God. No good works at all. If it's not of faith in Jesus, the Bible says, then it's not good. It's not good works. No, no, my friends. Only by faith, says God. Only by trusting. Only by confiding. Confide, you know. Con, with, fide, faith. With faith in Jesus, in the Word of God. And what the Word of God reveals. With faith, that is, confidence in the mighty Son of God, who died for sinners and who rose again from the dead, who has conquered, who has defeated sin and death and hell. So that, my friend, so that you can be saved. Saved for time and for eternity. Eternal security. Because here's the problem, you see. Maybe you say, well, for now it doesn't matter, but it will do. Because you see, you're heading for that courtroom. Every one of us, we shall all appear before the judgment throne of God. So whether you're on the narrow pathway, whether you're on the broad pathway, they both of them end up in the courtroom. And you stand before Judge Jesus. There's a man coming round, and he's taking names. And he decides who to bless and who to blame. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I tell you, see, these false prophets, these false religions, yeah, peddlers of sham religion. I tell you, I warn you, the hottest place in hell is reserved for people such as that. You need to get it right. Get out from amongst me. Get out of my sight, says Jesus. I never knew you. Or that is, if you have trusted in him, if you've believed on his name, he will say to you, well done, my good and faithful servant. Faithful, that's the operative word. Full of faith, believing, trusting. That's how you get right with God. Believing, not doing. Trusting in the Son of God and what he has done. That's the way back to God from the dark path of sin. That's the only way. One mediator, says the Bible. One mediator. One go-between. Between us and God. Between man and God. To bring men and women back to God. One mediator.
Praise the Lord.
And his name's not the Pope. His name's not Muhammad. His name's not Buddha. His name is Jesus. The mighty Son of God, who has done, accomplished everything necessary for a man, a woman to be saved. They have but to trust in him. They have but to believe in him. You have the record, the testimony, God's own record concerning his Son. The Word of God is a lamp, a light for your feet, a lamp for your path. A sure word of prophecy, a sure word, not a false word, the truth. Guide your feet into the right pathway. Guide you, lead you to Jesus. Lead you to eternal life.
Glory
my ship.
What?
You want to cheer up?
My ship, hear my voice. Hear my voice. His sheep, those that he came for, those that he died on the cross for. My sheep, they hear my voice, he said. And they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Never. Whosoever believeth, not worketh, whosoever believeth shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Because of Jesus. Because of what Jesus has done. Because of what Jesus has accomplished. Because Jesus died. Only he died for sinners. Nobody else did that. Only Jesus. And rose again from the dead. In order that you might be saved. Brought to eternal life. Brought to salvation. Eternal security. In the name of God's only begotten, beloved, beautiful Son, Jesus. He's the one who you need to look to. He's the one whom you need to listen to. Not the peddlers of false religion. Listen to Jesus and do it. Do whatsoever he tells you to do. Believe, trust in him. Only believe, he says. If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Faith, my friend. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Here, listen to his admonition. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Newcastle, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And that's how you enter God's kingdom. The only way. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Repent ye and believe the gospel. No other way into God's kingdom. You'd like to have a copy of God's word. Check these things out for yourself and see that they are so according to God's word. Like a copy of God's words offered to you. Quite freely, you're simply for the taking. You're living in dangerous days. Days of terrible darkness. Wickedness abounds. The end is nigh. The time is coming, my friends. Judgment. The judge is already before the door. The word of God, my friends. God's precious holy word given to you that you might believe and be saved. You'd like a copy of God's word, you come and ask for one. Gladly place into your hands. You're simply for the taking. May God bless you, Newcastle. Bless you and of mercy, I say mercy upon your precious never dying souls.
Perhaps I can give out to people.
Yeah, surely. You're a Christian, madam?
Yes, darling. Yes. I've been a Christian for years.
Okay. I'm pleased to hear it, madam. Very
and
good.
And I know he's coming soon. So
yes, I believe so. I've got... you can't listen to that. That's my own. That's how the Lord saved me.
I've got one of this, darling.
Oh, you got one of
it? Give me one of these already.
Okay,
yeah,
I got
John,
what was it? John's Gospel?
Yes.
I've got some tracks here.
Bless you.
If you like.
You're doing a wonderful work, and we're living
well,
in the end times. You're,
yes,
you're
yes.
Right.
I believe so.
You are right.
You could have some of these, look.
Scripture fulfilling. I thought I would be dead. I thought I wouldn't be alive to see it.
There you
thank
go.
Thank you. Bless you.
Maybe give them to other people. But thanks for stopping by.
You keep
by,
on.
Yeah. Yep. And you too,
keep
madam.
On, darling.